Let's go to John 19. John 19, starting from verse 28 to 30. And he reads, later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that the scriptures would be fulfilled, Jesus said, I am thirsty. A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of a hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. It is finished. You see, what people say when they're about to die carries a lot of weight. It carries what they believe, what they live for, and how they live their life. Jesus saying it is finished, he was saying that all he came on earth to do, the sins that we have all committed, the payment and the punishment for that sin has been paid for in full. You don't owe anybody. I don't owe anybody. It is finished. And when Jesus says it is finished, he doesn't mean like 80% finished, 99.5% finished. No, 100% finished. But you see, the sad part is I have lived my life like I owed God 5%. You know, it's like going to ShopRite and going shopping, buying stuff, right? And seeing Dwight on Forest Avenue. And Dwight gives me a ride to my house. I get in the car and I'm still carrying all the bags on my legs to my house. That is what we do when we don't hold on to it is finished. We live our lives like we have to punish ourselves to earn the grace of God. It is finished. The way we do it is we always look back. Man, I wish I could have done something different. I wish I didn't commit this sin. No. It is finished. Let that sink in for a moment. How do you deal with yourself when you fall? I can tell you how I do it. I beat myself up a lot. But recently, God has been teaching me, Daniel, what do you think you are doing? If you were able to do that for yourself, I wouldn't waste my time coming here. My son said, it is finished. Dust yourself up, get up, and keep on moving. It is finished. Let me ask you one question. If someone sins against you, what do you think God would expect you to do? God would expect you to forgive, right? So why is it that when we sin, we act like God cannot forgive us? In a sense, we are trying to tell God that we are more righteous than he is. Like, seriously? It is finished. John 21, 15 to 19. John 21, 15 to 19. And this is the interaction Jesus had with Peter when they met again after the resurrection. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, Do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to him, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. You see, when you've done something so bad and the guilt eats you up and the person you sinned against comes and forgives you, sometimes we find it hard to accept the forgiveness because we feel like, nah, that is too easy. And I should be kicked on the side, scratched on my face, something. Do something to me, you know, as penance. No. It is finished. Jesus was trying to tell Peter, it's all forgiven. It is finished. You see, we've been learning about the community. Loving God and loving one another. I promise you, if you cannot love yourself, and if you cannot forgive yourself, it will be hard to do it for someone else. Very hard. Because everyone that comes into your circle becomes an extension of you. So if you beat yourself up, anyone who comes in your circle, you beat them up too. Because they are an extension of you. You love them like you love yourself. So what do I do? The lessons I've learned. One, forget the past, learn, and move on. This allows me to become a wounded healer. Because if someone else comes to me with the same sins I have committed, I have more compassion on them. Because I understand how they are feeling. I know how it feels like to have blown it and come back and want to repent and change. We learn to become wounded healers. Your pain is not in vain. Your pain is supposed to help you help other people come out of their darkness. Two, we need to learn how to help others out of their darkness. You know, things happen to us not by chance. You know that, right? If you are a child of God, nothing happens to you by chance. It is all ordained by God. And when you learn, earlier on, Jesus told Peter that the devil has asked permission to sift you like wheat. And when you've fallen and you are restored, take care of your brothers. Our pain, again, is not just for fun and giggles. Someone is in the pipeline walking towards you that needs the lessons you've learned. That needs the love you've experienced from God. You need to pour it out onto someone else. Three. If I want to walk more closely with Jesus, I need to fill myself with Jesus and leave no room for other things. That is true repentance. Because in Matthew 12, Jesus told a story about when evil spirits are cast out of someone, they go out there, look for places to hang out, and when they don't find any place to go, they come back to where they left. And when they come and they see that their room is clean, unoccupied, They go back, bring in more demons to come in there, and the person becomes worse than they began with. Listen, there is no vacuum in the spiritual realms. Everybody has to have a master. You need to have a master. You are a master to your flesh, or you are your flesh is your master, or the spirit is your master. There is no in between. So the question I have to ask to all of us and myself is, who is my master? If Jesus is my master, I have to look, smell, think, and behave exactly like him. That is what it means to be his follower. If you're following someone, you need to look like him. You need to think like him. You need to behave like him. Otherwise, you are a disciple of something else. You might be a disciple of your flesh. You might be a disciple of money. You might be a disciple of your job. You could even be a disciple of your children. Who are you following? If someone follows you with a camera without you knowing, can they look at your life every single day, open the scriptures, and see, ooh, Jesus did that. Jesus said that. Can they do that? You see, it is what I think about is what I become. If I think of something off the walls, it's just a matter of time. I will become that. I don't just fall into sin. No. It takes time. If I want to look like Jesus, I need to pray like Jesus. I need to learn the scriptures like Jesus. I need to love people like Jesus. I need to spend my time like Jesus. And this is not going to happen in a few years. It is a lifetime of learning, a lifetime of discipline, a lifetime of doing it over and over again. You fall, you get up, you clean yourself up, you keep it moving. Don't waste your time beating yourself up. It's useless. It will do nothing for you. Trust me, I have done it. It didn't work. It did not work. It made me worse. It's like a spiral. I kept going down and down and down. Till the Spirit smacked me in the face. What do you think you are doing? Get out of here. Come on now. It is finished. This week, walk through your life. Have a conversation with your pillow. Who is my master? If you figure it out, be honest with yourself. If it's not Jesus, maybe you might want to have a conversation with someone and, you know, start learning how to do that. Because if you're not, you should not really be calling yourself a disciple of Jesus. Find out who your master is. If you've slipped, get up, clean yourself up, and keep it moving. Because you don't know when your name will be called. Yes. I hugged our sister last week, man. I hugged her. She looked at me and smiled. She was sitting right there. But she finished strong. Don't give up. Don't let the devil trick you. You a mess. I am bad. God doesn't like you no more. It's a lie. It is a lie. God is still fired up about you. Get up and keep it moving. Amen. Amen.